Hello, and welcome to another episode of For the Love of Sports. My name is Michael Raziel. This is the show where we get to talk about sports, we get to talk about business, and we get to talk about everything in between. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, you know exactly what to do. Like and subscribe on YouTube, five-star review on Spotify, over on Apple Podcasts. Give me a nice five-star review and write something really nice about me and my incredible guest today. I have Shripal Shah. He is the author of Leveling Up with AI, a strategic guide to AI in sports marketing. He's also an investor, an advisor, a mentor, a professor. Shripal, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure is all mine. Shout out to Ross. He's the best in the biz. Always love when he sends me incredible guests, and I expect nothing less from you. So, of course, we're going to get into the book, man. We're going to talk about AI. We're going to talk about sports marketing, the melding of the two. But the first question I have for everybody on the For the Love of Sports podcast is, why do you love sports so much?
You know, I love how he can pull like a full community or country together. And I think that is something, you know, I've had from when I was little. You know, one of the earliest memories I remember was being in India when India would be playing Pakistan in cricket. And watching how the neighborhood, like the literal, you know, where it's a billion people and everything's hustling and bustling, and all of a sudden the whole, everything was shut down, right, for the match. And, or I grew up in Boston, so I'm a diehard Red Sox fan, and you hear, you know, just sort of that whole dichotomy. And then when my wife and I got married, the World Cup was going on, and we were in Greece, and just kind of, you know, we've also done, our 10-year anniversary in Cartagena in Colombia when the Copa de America was, and just seeing again that type of atmosphere. So like, yeah, there's some key life milestones that have also coincided with major sports things, and those memories have kind of blurred together for me.
That sounds like you did a really great job planning those. Let me just tip of the cap, sir. Congrats. You won the game, if I'm not mistaken, for that. But no, man, like that's always, I always love that answer when people say it, because there's nothing like it. There's that community, right? You know, I've used this example before. I'm going to use it again. If I walk into a bar anywhere in the world and someone's wearing, you know, Mets gear, we have something to talk about. We're going to be friends. I'm going to buy that guy a beer. He might buy me one. It doesn't matter, right? Like, it's just one of those things where like, those colors, that logo, anywhere in the world will do that. But even to the level, the extent that you're talking about that cricket match, the whole country of a billion people stops and everyone's paying attention to one thing. And multiple countries have that, right? We, you know, Texas football, right? Like, it's just like there's so many different places around the world where that happens. And it always, 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 9 times out of 10 coincides with sports. And there's just something about it, man. There's just something about it. It always gets me going. I love it. Love it. Good stuff. So you wrote a book. Congrats. First, I guess we'll start with that. Writing a book's pretty cool. Wrote one back in the day. Go check it out. It's free. Anyone can grab it, Winning in Sports Business. But Shripal, talk to me a little bit about yours, Leveling Up, one more time, Leveling Up with AI, a strategic guide to AI in sports marketing. I got a few questions about like the actual nitty gritty of the book, but do you always wanted to write a book? Was that like kind of on the checklist of yours? Like, you know, it'd be cool to say author right next to my name one time.
Yeah, I always thought about writing a book, right? But the joke I used to always say is like, we talk about Ross, right? When I used to be the chief digital officer at Catalyst in between my two Redskin stints, I was working for a PR agency and I used to joke with folks, it's like, you didn't hire me for my grammar or my speaking abilities. You hired me because I can make money. And you could tell, you know, some people laugh, some people probably got offended. But I have the worst grammar in the world. I have a CS degree. And, I think now with like the mix of AI plus ghostwriting, there was sort of a way where I felt like I can hide my personal deficiencies and actually still do something meaningful. So the desire was there. The aptitude may not have been. And then I've been able to be assisted to kind of bridge that gap.
That's awesome. The content was always there. It just maybe wasn't, you know, put together in the silkiest, smoothest way. But it sounds like you got there. Which I think is the important part, and people will be able to learn from everything that all the experiences that you've had, everything that you've learned. I think that's always the cool part, right? I have, you know, interviewed hundreds of people through this show and learned how so many of them got jobs in sports. And I was like, you know, it would be cool if I put together a book of all these awesome people and how they got jobs in sports. Bang, there you go. I didn't really do anything. I just kind of wrote down some of the cool things people said. And it sounds like you have the information. You just need a little help getting there. And yeah, if anyone out there is listening and you're not using ChatGPT to at least just edit your content, you're doing something wrong. Don't have it write it. You know, we're not quite there yet. You know, you still want to write it. But if you're not having it just edit, you know, just simple things, take out dumb words, like that stuff, you're missing out, man. It's free. Check it out, right? It's easy.
Exactly.
Did you have it edit your entire book? Curiosity. Hey, I have all this stuff. Could you edit it, put it in a really nice order, and, you know, we'll plop it out?
So I wanted to write a book on AI and sports, right? It's a little more long-winded answer, but like, I was tired. I sat through some conferences, and you could tell the people talking had never really been using the platform. And I was also annoyed by like the typical, because I teach sports marketing, the typical like entry level ticketing reps that write just really bad emails and real text and what have you. So this book, and I try to make no bones about it, it's like you're talking about generative AI, and one of the key things is. And it's gotten a lot better. But like a year ago, I don't think people realized like to use ChatGPT properly, you had to really be really adept at what they call prompt engineering, how to actually get, because right, most people just type, they say, oh, it's kind of lame, and they move on. But if you actually like know how to talk to it, you can get some amazing output. So in that vein, with that context, it was like, well, what's better to write prompts for ChatGPT than ChatGPT itself. So it was this process of where a lot of the chapters is where I would ask ChatGPT as an expert in prompt engineering who knew all the insides and outs of ChatGPT and a 20-year sports marketer persona, can you please help me write the best-in-class prompts? And then I would list the task. And so in some sections, it's more than just editing, because the argument was really like, well, if you're trying to learn about generative AI, there's no better source than the thing itself. And then for other stuff that I did write, I mean, I just hired an offshore editing ghostwriting firm for like $500. And I did that as well. But like, I think, you know, so it's a mix. And I try to be on the front foot, but in the context, and that's why of all the books I could have written, it's like this one felt like one of the best ones, because the irony is like, who would you rather listen to, the AI or the person talking about AI? So it felt like it could be the most authentic way to do it.
No, I love that. That's such a kind of tongue-in-cheek way of getting to write a book, right? Like being like, well, it's about AI. I'd be pretty silly not to use AI to write this book, right?
We're like trying to tell other people how to leverage AI. So like, if the book didn't get written by AI, like how would you really believe the author, right? It's like,
exactly. That's like, I made $1 million in sales, you know, pay me money so I can tell you how to do it, right? Like, it's almost kind of like that, like, okay, all right, let's see. And that's like, I think that's kind of funny. That's actually like, that's really funny the way that you wrote this book. And I'm sure it's great. Like, that's the coolest part, right? Like, because as you said, understanding how to prompt ChatGPT. I tell all my friends to use it. I think it is so much fun. Am I the best prompter in the world? No, absolutely not. But I do know people who are really, really good. And some of them are like a little over the top, in my opinion. Maybe I'm just, you know, a little skeptical on it, but it's like, you know, with the wonderment of Walt Disney and the, you know, the storytelling of C.S. Lewis, can you, you know, and it's like, okay, all right, like a little over the top, but if it works, it works. What, like, how long did it take you to start adopting ChatGPT or you know, these language, these generative, to use your words, AI, to really just kind of like everyday life stuff, not even just to write a book, but like just to like utilize this at work, at school, at, you know, for stuff at home. Like I just ask it questions all the time. And my favorite part is I can just ask follow-up questions. You can't do that with Google. With Gemini now you can, but like, when did you start to like utilize it day to day?
Probably around this time last year, you know, and I made a conscious effort to try to use it as many places as I could. And it's just kind of evolved. Right. And like, like I just posted on LinkedIn a little while ago, like, which will be part of my second book, like, when do you use ChatGPT versus Gemini versus Claude 3, right? Like, there's like each LLM is different, but like, I mean, some of the best output I've had is in my non-professional life using ChatGPT. Or, you know, I'll use some examples. Like, before you could have like custom GPTs, you could actually ask ChatGPT if you had like, I'm a vegetarian, I'd give it like five ingredients, say the type of cuisine I want, and it would just give me a recipe. And I'd just give it to my nanny and she'd cook it. And it's like, it's good food. Yep. And, or I'm the PTA president for my daughter's middle school. And, you know, it's a mix of a magnet plus like an, it's like an underserved school slash magnet, right? And in that scenario, I've been applying for a bunch of grants and I've won 3 grants, beat out a few thousand schools. But in that scenario, again, as I said, I can't write for shit. So like I created a persona of a virtual grant writer, taking the LinkedIn profiles of people that I knew that were like professional grant writers for the federal government. You know, former Redskins blogger, Matt Turrell, is like, he's evolved into this like grant writer that writes 30, $40 million grants, right? So I put all their profiles in and then I fed it the grant and it started writing the answer. And I gave it the rubric and all that stuff. And then I created a virtual panel of experts who would judge grant submissions. And then it was 2 different chat threads, but it was basically the AI critiquing itself on its own output. And I was just going back and forth for about 40 minutes and I won a grant beating a few thousand schools. And then I did it again and we won again and I did it again. So that's been really impactful, where like a lot of people on like the PTA board thought this would be a 4 or 5 hour project and it wasn't. But then I've done it, like my daughter turned 13, so to embarrass her, she's a big Taylor Swift fan. I created like this whole like poem where the birthday greeting is like 13 different Taylor Swift songs. I don't know the lyrics, right? So I did that. I've done, my wife was coaching and I were helping coach my kids' Lego robotics team. So they were building they were in the bot makers like Lego competition. And, you know, one of the kids has attention deficit disorder. And as I was thinking of coaching techniques to work with that, I could go to ChatGPT, offer the task at hand, and it created a prompt of an expert who deals with that. And it gave real tips. And that actually became really beneficial to kind of rally the team and to go forward. So, you know, I use it for like all, you know, everything I can.
That is, yeah. So I use it for recipes like almost daily and I love it, because what I like to do on the recipe side is I'll put in a recipe and be like, what can I do different? What can I add? What can I take away? I don't have this. What can I do as a substitute? So I always love doing that. I love making chicken wings. So I always ask it for like wild chicken wing recipes. It's like, hey, I want something this. No, make it more Asian, like less this. Like, and it's so much fun to do that. Can't say I've quite done it for some of these other things that you have, but like, I think the power of it is obviously there. It's just, I don't think, why do you think it's so hard for people to make that kind of next step, right? Like I use it in a very rudimentary way. I don't think I'd ever get to the point of, you know, if I was trying to coach my son's baseball team, or in your situation, you know, Lego robotics team, and that wants to, like, you're using it in very specific ways. What are you doing differently? Or what do we need to do as society differently to just start adopting this and using this and just everyday life to try things like grant writing out of, you know, hey, the possibility, this thing could probably write a grant better than anyone else. Why not use it for that? Why can't we get there? Or why aren't we there yet?
So it reminds me of, Red, I think you got to let go of your biases and you have to be open to want to try, right, to do. And for a lot of people, it's easier said than done, right? Like it reminds me of, you know, 12, 13 years ago, early days social media, like when I joined the PR, you would hear people talk about social media, but it was clear no one had ever written their own tweet, or they weren't really following people on Twitter. They weren't live streaming, yet they were trying to talk about it. And you're like, right now you have 60-year-old people tweeting, right? But like back then it was like this thing. So you have to break down that silo from like talking about it and reading about it to doing. And for a lot of people that just, up until recently, which I don't think people get, like before generative AI, you needed data scientists, developers. AI has been around, but the bar was much higher. And I think you also have to go in with the right set of expectations. There are many people that I know that use ChatGPT or one of these platforms, they like enter something, the output is mediocre and like, oh, it sucks. And versus like, if you spend 20 minutes here, it might save you 5 hours later. And then the next week, you might only have to spend 15 minutes and then only 10 minutes, right? And then you also have to have the creativity to want to explore and the curiosity. And I think a lot of people...
I think that's the creativity and the curiosity part, I think, is really important for people.
You're right. Like I was just curious, okay, what's the difference between Claude 2 and ChatGPT? Because Claude 1 kind of sucked. And then it's like, oh, Claude 2 can actually make it sound less like AI. Maybe I'll take my book and run chapters through that, which is... So part of what I did is I actually wrote a lot of the chapter stuff. I actually ran it from ChatGPT back to Claude to back to, and I would have it critique each other, right? And I would do that, right? But like that, in doing that, it's like, oh, Claude makes a lot of mathematical error, or did. Now I think Claude 3 is a little bit different, but like, you know, like I would come to understand because I was actually experiencing it, right? And I think those are the things that people are hesitant to do. And it's because I think the difference is like with social media, their friends and family were on it. So you sort of were forced to have to learn social media on the fly, or right? Like the first time someone ever went on WhatsApp, right? Like, mm-hmm. like I have a lot of family overseas. First time you go on WhatsApp, right? You deal with it like, oh, there's a lot of forwards, there's a lot of garbage. But you come to a balance that works for you. I think with generative AI, it's the same thing. But you have to have the right incentive. And I think the incentive should be like, this is an ability to be, what I try to tell people is generative AI is like a skill augmentation and an accelerant. And if you think of it that way, you can really get a lot out of it. It's like, I now have 30 interns at my disposal. And if you had 30 interns and if the work was mediocre, you would take the time or 30 admins or assistants or an assistant chef, right? Like you would take the time and actually mentor or give feedback. But when it's the AI response, people are reticent to do so. Like with my nanny, she's not a vegetarian. When we're having originally, right, she's trying to learn how to cook vegetarian recipes. Like we'd give feedback. Yeah, we like this, a little too salty, make this a little spicier, right? And then she would learn. It's the same thing with the AI giving us right recipes for what's in the fridge. It's like, hey, we like things a little bit spicier. We like things, you know, we don't like this ingredient. We don't, you know, but you got to do the same thing with the more professional stuff. Like, right, I've used it to create insertion orders and data visualizations. And I've had it critique a sponsorship package from the XFL 2023 championship game that someone was pitching me. But it's the same mindset, right? Like how, if you take those principles for the basic things that I did outside of my day job, it allowed me to now apply it to everything in my professional world, which is allowing me to go faster.
I think the first time it was explained to me by a good friend, Rob Cressy, very smart, very cool dude. He jumped on this. Once he saw it, he like went 100,000 miles an hour into ChatGPT and the generative AI. And he pretty much told me, he's like, if you're going to use this, speak to it like a person. Like, it pretend it is an employee of yours. How would you, if your employee came back with something and this is what it said, what would you say back? Would you say nothing? Would you say, oh, this sucks? No, you'd say, this is the feedback I have. Can you, I need you to improve this. I need more of that. I need a little less of this. And the more you do that, the more you get into the literal conversation with it, the closer it's going to get to an answer that you're actually looking for.
I agree 100%. And it's funny you say that. I was on ChatGPT with my daughter yesterday. We're doing something. She's got a event at her school, and we got nominated to do something there. And she literally saw me say, this sucks. What the F, can you give me something better? You know, like we're not like 2-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just talking to it. Like I used to my old football, you know, interns. Like I like, you know, and I'm like, then the next output was very much exactly what we needed. We could print it, do it right, and kind of move on. But it's very much like you need to talk to it. Like I always use things like, give me your best effort, all caps, or, you know, like, you're getting lazy, I need, you know, and those little things that sound so counterintuitive are actually more impactful than a lot of the things you'll find in all these like right? There's like a 2 million LinkedIn blog posts about prompt engineering. But I found, like, to your point, if you just talk to it as like a person and give it some of these traits, it just, it's like snapping the chalk line. It's like, boom. And then next thing you know, the output is just like it's like leveled up instantly. No pun intended.
Isn't that funny? Just talk to it like a person. That's all. Just talk to them like people. No, I love
that. Get mad at it like a person, like everything. Yeah. You know, like show all your emotions. Like, I highly recommend that.
I love it. I love it. I'll make sure to put a little more emotion in some of these next time. So I guess
it likes praise, everything. Like it actually responds.
I always say thank you. I always say thank you to AI because one day I believe that they'll probably be running the world. So like, I want to make sure that they were like, well, this guy said thank you. He was at least nice about it. So we'll see. Tongue in cheek, obviously, but yeah, that's kind of,
I think where I'd recommend, like, besides just like the pleasantries, like more like, this is amazing, this sucks. It's like when you can actually give it like this is materially better than it remembers for like the next thing you want to enter. So like it actually can build on itself if you actually give it demonstrative praise or critiques.
That's awesome. Man, this stuff is crazy. I love it. And so I guess with specifically on the book, again, one more time, Leveling Up with AI, Strategic Guide to AI and Sports Marketing. Why sports marketing? Like, why wasn't this more of just like a general marketing book? Or it sounds like you could have pretty much done anything, right? So I guess like, what is it about sports marketing and why do you think that this field connects very well with the potential for utilizing AI?
So I was just looking at, like I said, going to these sports conferences, and it's always felt like, forget generative AI, right? Like, I've always felt like sports is still years behind, and it is years behind retail in AI. Like, you know, when I joined Shop Your Way in 2018, I was blown away by the amount of AI, machine learning, hundreds of data scientists. And you look at, like, I was at an e-tail conference, they were saying 54% of all email subject lines from like the Fortune 500 retailers are AI generated. So right, like more than half of all retailers are already using AI to send you email. How many sports teams can really say that, right? So there was this gap, and then generative AI was still causing a bigger gap. So I didn't want to do something that was so when I wrote the book, I'd come off a conference. I was kind of annoyed that people are still kind of just talking, talking about things, but it's clear they weren't really doing. I was in Italy. My daughter was competing in an international history Olympiad competition. It's 105 degrees, and I had a lot of waiting time and no AC because the Italians don't believe in AC. So I just had my iPhone, and I just sort of started working on it kind of organically, just like thought of mind, and it just started building. And the next thing I know, like, I'm like on my iPhone just typing away day and like everywhere I was, and that's how I built out the book. And then at night when everyone would go to bed, I was going back and forth between ChatGPT and Claude and my own stuff. And you know, and during that trip to Italy, I basically wrote the whole book, and then I just sat on it because like a lot of what happens in generative AI changes so drastically in 30 days. So I was like, this kind of sucks. It's obsolete. And no one had written a book on AI in sports. So the Super Bowl hit, and I saw Joe Favorito, you know, I think you know him, a bunch of my former, some of the folks within Nexstar Partners that I know and elsewhere. And they're all like, you should publish this book. And I'm like, it's been 6 months. Like, and they're like, no, you really should. And so then I published it with the caveat that I was going to write the second book, which I'm about to publish because so much had changed. And then when I published it, it got a really good reaction initially, I think, because it still was the first book on AI and sports. And the irony was I wrote it, you know, 6 months ago. And I think that kind of led to the why, right? Like you would have, in an ideal scenario, you would have written, three, four people would have written books, right, about this, and no one had. Yet all these conferences were talking about AI, but no one could actually put a coherent strategy or theory or principle or tactic into anything written, right? Everyone's just talking about it. And I think what, it, not to sound arrogant, but like when you go to retail conference, like I went to ETEL, you know, someone was getting paid to autograph their copy of the generative AI book. And it was the same week mine came out. And I was like, I'm like, my crappy book's not much worse than his book. And he's getting paid, right? To like, and they were literally all these books that I have all these generative AI books that were just given to me walking a retail trade show. And I think that's like the kind of the gap that I was seeing. It's like, there's just this opportunity to do so much more when you think about how much generative AI can lend itself to sports as well.
Why do you think sports, like the industry and business of sports, is so much further behind than things like retail? I mean, I know the dollars are what they are, right? We in the sports industry see these gigantic numbers, but you know, some of these consumer packaged goods companies would dwarf, you know, they could buy the NFL 10 times over with just the cash they have on hand, right? Like, what is it about sports that, like, are we arrogant? Like, you know, us in the sports industry, are we arrogant because we just think we know enough and don't, you know, try and dive deeper into it? Like, what do you think is the reason why we are so much further behind?
I think it's not about arrogance, right? Like, what originally drew me to sports, you know, in 2005, when I joined what was then the Washington Redskins, you know, I'd come from BarnesandNoble.com and I was managing two development teams, right? It was still a billion-dollar e-commerce company and e-commerce still new to sports. And when I got there, the things that were just second nature to me, we grew the retail business 70% year over year for the first 2-3 years in a row. And that was just taking principles, right? Digital and the digital's online sponsorship, all of that had, we were so far behind everything else then. I think what happened with AI is very similar, but the difference is sports has always been a bit lagging in emerging tech, like social media, et cetera, right? There's a, you think about, right? NFL teams, if we Google, right, you'd find articles how they used to get fined for putting highlights right on social media. They were like actual leagues were actually imposing fines, right, if you were doing that. And now we can laugh about it because now everyone has their highlights on the social media. But right, the teams were barred from posting highlights because there was this fear because everyone's always worried about their content rights. I think what COVID did, though, it was this weird dichotomy where everyone got furloughed, but then there was more capital technology infrastructure investment in like 18 months than in the last 10 years. So everyone's like, oh, sports is so far thing. We're spending millions and we're doing that. But while people were working on access control and contact tracing and everything else in these arenas, all these retailers who had locked down their stores were really doubling down on AI, talking about, okay, we need to milk every dollar we can and really stretch it. We need to find better conversion rates. So in that gap, the AI as evolution, even before generative AI, right, really started gaining traction. And then generative AI hit, which then lowered the barrier. And now you had sort of this, you're already behind on what I call like the OG AI, right? Like traditional AI and machine learning. And then with generative AI, you're now falling behind on two folds. But because everyone had made all these multi-million dollar CapEx and investments, everyone's like, no, sports is on the cusp. But no, you just upgraded infrastructure that was going to fall apart anyway. You could argue that all of those things should have been done back in 2013, 2014, when the rest of the world was, you know, doing a lot of those upgrades and you have. So like, I think that's led to a lot of this.
Well, I hope we stay up to date or at least only lag behind by a year or two rather than, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, as it sounds like, especially with the AI and machine learning front. Machine learning used to be the big phrase. Remember that back in the day? Yeah. You know, blockchain, that was another fun one. Now it's AI. And I think it kind of makes sense again, like the as you said, the bar to entry, the barrier to entry is significantly lower, where anyone writing ticket sales emails, if you're not doing this, you're not doing something right. Like, essentially, that's as easy as it gets to be as blunt as possible. And it sounds like you put together a pretty sweet book with the help of AI to get people to understand that. I guess one thing that's really interesting, again, because you pretty much wrote it in tandem, hand in hand with a couple of these generative AI systems, platforms, programs, whatever we want to call them. What are some of the things that you learned? What were some of the things that opened your eyes a little bit? You're like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. Because I remember when I wrote my book, like just the interviews that I was doing with people, like I was learning along the way. Like, I'm curious from your perspective, kind of almost writing the whole thing through AI. What are some of the things that you learned? You're like, damn, I didn't even think about that. This should go in the book.
Yeah. I think what it opened my eyes to is like, everyone's always chasing like the big shiny item. And I think as I was going through the chapters and the outlines and the content writing and everything else, it's like, it made me realize that phrase, right? Everyone thinks of like, right, we think when we tell people when I worked in sports, or when I was active as $1 billion brand run like a mom and pop shop, right? Everyone's always resource light. And it made me realize that there are all these things that someone could add on, right? Like SEO, right? You could become an SEO expert without having to be one. And all of a sudden everything you write is now SEO friendly because you could just run it through this thing. So in starting with the outline, in the process of taking something and running it through the LLMs and having it critique each other on the concept, it not only showed what more you could do, but it also, to your point, it was almost like you now have three sports marketing experts where someone else is like, well, did you think about this example? I'm like, no, I never had. And right. So like, it would actually suggest an example of something that I hadn't even thought of in the outline that I wrote, because when I ran it through it as like the critique of the panel of experts of a different LLM critiquing, it started offering its own suggestions. And then it wasn't suggestions around AI as much as suggestions as a sports marketer for applications, or suggestions as a sports marketer who found another example that I might have missed, right? And that was really fascinating. It's like this AI was truly building the book with me, and especially in the second book. Like the second book I've written, it's more about a framework. It's all about all aspects of AI around sports. And in that scenario, it was meant for like, if you're a CEO of a team and you're reading all the buzzwords, how do you know what you need, right? What are the resources needed? Like, what's the prerequisite? So in doing that, seeing that the input from the AI of terms of it providing like that guidance and touch points, it was really fascinating for me in the second book, even more so. Of like,
and what's the name of the second book?
The Art of Victory Global. I should probably find it. It's The Art of Victory, Global AI in Sports, I believe is the title.
Love it. Very cool.
I should probably know my own titles, but clearly.
Yeah, it's only coming out in a couple of weeks. Well, what's the difference, right?
Yeah, so.
No, that's really cool. And I think like that's such an interesting twist to writing a book, right? Like the opportunity to learn while you're writing, that doesn't really come up too often. Because as you said, you can pretty much create a panel of veteran sports marketers that you're then able to kind of bounce ideas off of. But in reality, it's just like this generative AI tool, and like anyone can do that. And like, again, if you're not using this in your everyday life, just start somewhere. Just start asking it questions, just start following up, right? And like, just kind of start having those simple conversations. Eventually you'll get to the point of being a professional prompt writer, as you are. But at the same time, it's one of those things where you can gain so much access, information, and knowledge. Sometimes I'm just up at night and I'm just like, what happened in the year 1312? And it's like, well, some of these things happened. I was like, cool, teach me about whatever the hell that is. And like, that's just always a fun one for me, just to kind of learn a little bit, because that's always fun. But
you know what I did one time? I'm a big Marvel fan. I started having a conversation about the MCU, and I learned more about like subplots that I hadn't realized in the movies. in just a conversation with the AI. It was just fascinating. Like, I made it a expert in all things Marvel movies and comics, and we're just having a conversation, and it started sharing like these subplots that I totally missed. And then I went back and watched the movie on my flight back from Italy, and I was like, oh my God, like, this thing is like, there are all these layers in the movies that I totally like missed, right?
Well, that is awesome, man. I love it. But no, this has been absolutely fantastic. I am so excited to check the book out, this one and the new one that's coming out. And I'm sure in a couple more months, you'll have another one that's coming out. Yeah. And then in a couple more months, we'll have ChatGPT-5. And, you know, I just expect a new book every couple months with you. I hope that's all right at this pace. But where can we find the book? Where can we check it out? Yeah, where can we get absolutely. It? This one, the new one, all of them.
So the current book, Leveling Up with AI, a strategic guide to AI and sports marketing, is available on Amazon. Ebook, okay. Paperback, and hardcover. If you have Kindle Unlimited, it's free. And the second book is The Art of Victory, AI and the New Frontier of Global Sports. And that will hopefully be live in the next 2 weeks on Amazon as well. And we're going to make that free for Kindle Unlimited and kind of try to go on the same three sort of platforms.
I love it, man. This has been absolutely fantastic. Where can we learn a little bit more about you? I know you mentioned LinkedIn. I can put that in there. Anywhere else that people should go to check out some of your just your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I think LinkedIn's probably the best for most of the AI thoughts. I'm working on a webpage for the book, so they'll and I think it's shreepalshaw.ai. And I've bought a bunch of domains. I need to finish writing it. So I'll actually have a website up by the time when the book goes live. You'd think I would know my own domains I've bought. But so you'll start seeing that, and then you know, I'm on most social platforms, and you know, I'm an old school email guy. You can always email me at shreepal@gmail.com, and you know, you can usually find me there.
I love it, man. This has been absolutely fantastic. One more time, Shreepal Shah, author of Leveling Up with AI, Strategic Guide to AI and Sports Marketing. There's another book coming out. We're not 100% on the title yet. No, I'm kidding. I kid. But another one coming out, which we're very excited for. Everything is available on Amazon, so go check those out. Shreepal, thank you very much for your time. It's the only thing we don't get more of, so I appreciate you for that. I appreciate the audience for theirs. But other than that, man, hope you have a great rest of your night.
Thank you.
Have a good one, everybody.